Blog Talk Radio.
Conjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com. And we have a special co-host this week, actually, Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas. We will also be joined by another very special guest member from AIR this week, Miss Melanie of the Curio and Candle Shop in Nashville, Tennessee. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening. But if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and then called into the show, then you'll be on the AIR and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a quick moment, but first let's catch up with our co-host, Conjurman Ali, and this week's Professor Porterfield. Conjurman Ali, sir.
Thank you, Miss Sammy Lee, for that lovely introduction. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite lovely. Thank you so much for asking. Doing quite lovely. Getting ready to begin. I kind of like the first of every month, believe it or not. I'm probably one of the odd folks that does. But it's kind of like a chance to renew the fresh and fresh renew. So I'm looking forward to the month of June. So,
Very good.
How are you,
I'm happy to hear that. I am doing great. For everyone out there listening and in the chat room, obviously I'm Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat is away this week as she's traveling in Southern California for the Great Train Show, and from her posts on Facebook, as we've all been following very attentively, she seems to be having a bit of fun. She will be back next week, so we wish her a safe trip, and we look forward to her return. I will be manning both a board op for Nagashiva as well as trying to host and read. So I'll be juggling a few things, so bear with me, and hopefully together we'll get through this. Every time this happens, I have a deeper appreciation for what Nagashiva does. And we have the wonderful Professor Porterfield stepping in for Miss Kat this week. I'm very excited to have him on, along with our lovely special guest, Miss Melanie. So let's check in before we dive into our discussion. Professor Porterfield, how are you doing?
I'm fine, my friend. I'm fine. Glad to be here. And
glad to
indeed, our dear Kat and Nagashiva are at the Big Train Show in Ontario, Canada this weekend, and that is an all-gauge train show, and I am sure they are having the time of their lives out there.
Yes, though it's actually Ontario, California.
California, that's right.
Yes, that's right. We have
the Ontario that threw me.
Yes, yes, that's right. But I'm sure they're having lots of fun. Whenever trains and cats get together, and it's always a good time. Hopefully we'll
that's
get a
right.
chance to see them while they're in Southern California. But what's new with you, Professor?
Well, not much. We've finally crept up into the high 80s out here in Texas and on our way quickly towards 100. And so we are all just keeping to the shade and keeping cool in preparation for the inevitable heat wave that hits us every single year. And in the meantime, I have just been doing work. Left, right, and center have had a wonderful time this week, and this morning had a fantastic reading with Candelo Cambisa, who is in our chat room, in fact, right now.
Just you read
had a fine time
read
with that. Say again, sir.
Did you read for him or he read for you?
We read for each other.
Oh, that would be fun. He's a great reader, and I've had a chance to listen to you on the radio show, so that must have been loads of fun. Our friend Candelo over at Candelo's Corner every Monday. So that's very, very exciting. I'm happy to hear that. And, oh, man, the heat. You don't know this about me, but it's very common fact now, considering that I complain about it all the time. But despite being of hot-blooded North African, Middle Eastern descent, I am actually not a warm weather type of guy. So whenever summer hits and we hit, you know, and I should preface this, but in Southern California, we don't have real heat. It kind of stays spring year-round, but it gets warm and I vanish. I'm like the reverse of a bear. I just disappear into my little cave, I turn on the AC, and you won't see me for 3 months until beautiful fall comes back and I can return, you know, back to the civilization. So whenever I hear things approaching, you know, higher degrees, I'm like, oh, God, how do they do it? And I imagine the Texas, it's got to be quite hot.
It does get quite hot indeed.
Right.
We just had Memorial Day last week, of course. And so all of us were out tending graves and beautifying the cemetery and talking to our dearly departed, and it was a very nice time. It was not too warm yet, but it'll slowly creep up.
I bet. And another person who happens to be from a very warm area happens to be our lovely guest, Miss Melanie. So I wanted to
that
bring
great,
her in.
Sir.
Before we talk about our discussion, let's find out what's new in your wonderful world, Miss Melanie.
It's so humid here. You walk outside and your hair frizzes and you automatically start to sweat. It's really humid here and really hot here as well. I think it was like 95 yesterday with 80% humidity. It was horrible. I felt like my skin was on fire.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, it was, and I had a 50 sunscreen on too. It was hot. It was hot yesterday, needless to say. But what I've been doing I've been just working, and I made candles this morning. Today was candle making day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much all I've been doing. Nothing too exciting.
Work is always exciting.
Work's always exciting.
Yes, making candles, that in of itself is exciting. I'm sure people would agree with me on that. Now, you actually brought up a very interesting, last time that you were on, people will remember, you talked a little bit about the work that you do with spirit boards. And people were very fascinated with this type of work. It's a unique form of spirit contact and mediumship, very old school. And something that has fallen a little bit out of favor, most people, you know, only know about spirit boards via the Ouija board, which is used more as a game. So why don't you talk a little bit about the work you do with spirit boards before we dive into our discussion, just so people understand the context of what we're going to be talking about.
With spirit boards, last time we talked about what they were, the different types, when they were invented, who invented them. Today we're going to talk about, I wanted to talk about how I actually use it, because that's the key to working with a spirit board and getting the correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
When emotions come into play for asking questions, your unconscious or your subconscious automatically gives you, for whatever scientific reason, the answer that you want. So in order to actually get the correct answer, like for me, I'm a clairvoyant. So with a yes or no question, I can already give you the answer. So when I use the spirit board, if I want to double check that answer, I have to clear my mind. You can't hear anything. Your mind has to be completely blank. And you have to allow spirit to come through you in order to give you the correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot of practice to be able to clear your mind. And it's really hard to ask questions for yourself because
mm-hmm.
there's so much emotion involved.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have any.
So your investment becomes a bit of an
yeah.
issue.
Yeah. You have to be completely blank. Yeah,
for people who are curious, posted Miss Melanie's profile in the chat room. And her last photo actually shows a spirit board and that she uses. And it's a very beautiful photo, so definitely go check that out. And what a spirit board basically is, it's a board, often with letters, sometimes with phrases, that's used either with a planchette or with a pendulum or other type of medium in order to get a spirit to communicate with you. And so today we're going to be talking specifically about how to get the communication going, not just the spirit board itself. And then, Miss Melanie, you mentioned that making your mind clear is really the first step for you, is making sure that your mind and your subconscious and your own desire for a certain answer doesn't interfere with what spirit is going to come through and say. Is that correct?
Correct, correct. And the way that I do that is it's a small meditation. You know, I follow in my air as I breathe in and follow it down and fill up my lungs, and then I follow my air back out and you know, I follow it. And so that kind of clears your mind and it calms you at the same time. So you have to do a type of meditation and get to that point where you're very calm and you really, the question that you're asking doesn't really give you any emotion. Because if there's anything there, it won't be correct. You have to be able to let spirit come completely in.
Interesting. Now, do you do any type of prayer with the meditation, or is it more of a breathing?
I do a breathing meditation. Mm-hmm. And, of course, before anything, you know, there's a lot of, you know, attachment to evil, you know, with spirit boards. And, of course, on the top of mine, it says it shall come to pass, and there's crosses on mine, you know, and it's been blessed, and I constantly keep it that way. And so before I start anything, I always pray, and I always pray that I receive only the truth, and I receive only God's word, and that I receive all this through, you know, for him to come through me. And I also ask for protection, from St. Michael to protect me from any evilness or anyone that may be anything that may be trying to come in and infringe on my correct reading.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way that I do it. And, of course, my faith protects me at that point because I know that I'm protected, you know, that nothing's going to come in because my spirit guide doesn't allow anything to come in.
Right, right.
When I'm
right.
doing
it's
it.
It's very fascinating. Praying for truth, asking for protection, because you're right, spirit communication can be a bit tricky sometimes too, not just for its associations with, you know, the spirit board's association with evil, but whenever you're reaching out to spirit, we have to remember that there's a multiplicity of spirits around us, some helpful and some not so helpful. So that's a very important part, calm, praying for truth and asking for protection. Professor Porterfield, I want to get your take on this. Is there something that you do to facilitate communication with spirit or building that connection so that you can communicate with spirit?
Well, yes, there is. But first, I would like to mention that, you know, this is a very, very old form of mediumship, and a lot of people associate it only with a Ouija board, and they think that's where it began from, but we have evidence that the use of a board and a planchette goes back as early as the Song Dynasty in China, where it was used for a form of automatic writing, which would be similar to mediumistic spirit writing that we see in the European area. And so this use of a planchette and a board, that's a very, very old thing. And it's kind of a pity that it's gotten such a bad rap, you know, that it's all been caught up in this one thing, this Parker Brothers kind of game, and that, you know, so many people have gotten so trumped up about that. But to answer your question very directly, yes, I use, and no shock here, right, I use a bit of scriptural magic before doing mediumistic and similar discussions like this, even regular divination, and I will use Luke 8:17 as a prayer beforehand, which is basically, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." And use that, the promise of that statement, basically, to not only open up the way, I also will use, like some of the old-timers, I will use a key, a physical key, to contemplate on, and sometimes even to make the physical gestures of unlocking a door, to open that way ahead, not only for my own ability to see forward, but also for spirits, my ancestors, the dead, etc., the Lord, the ministering angels, to come forward through that door to communicate with me as well. And then finally, one of the things that I have met a lot of people in hoodoo that like to use is camphor. Yeah, the same camphor that Grandma put in the, you know, in the drawers and kept in the medicine cabinet. And the two varieties of use that generally I have seen in that are burning the camphor on charcoal, which, let me just tell you, folks, if you haven't burned camphor, please be careful. It burns.
It's one of
you really need to take a little extra caution if you're going to burn camphor. But another way to use it, to create a spiritual incense, to fumigate a space before you want to open up psychic vision, true dreaming, spirit mediumship, is to add a piece of camphor to a little Florida water or a similar alcohol-based cologne, because it will immediately turn to liquid itself. And then you just leave that container open in that area. That's that alcohol-based perfume, primarily Florida water is what I use, and camphor, and then that will create an air, an essence there to help in mediumship and spirit communication.
Absolutely. I think that's brilliant. And you bring up some interesting points that I love the element of history, because a lot of people forget these things often have very deep, deep roots. Spirit communication and developing a relationship with spirit has been found in a variety of cultures. You mentioned planchet and automatic writing. Another common one was the use of the key as a pendulum, usually hung by holding it with two hands, not one. We often look at the pendulum now with one hand nowadays, holding it in your fingers. But often you made your hand into a little triangle and you would hold the string between your fingers and let the key dangle. And that's how you had spirit communicate. Another very folksy and rural element of using pendulum or calling on spirit to give answers was using objects between two people. And this goes back to what Miss Melanie was talking about, the idea of you need to clear your mind and the dangers of your own intentions kind of influencing the answer. So how people got around it is they got two people to participate. Dr. Johannes actually mentioned a technique from trolldom in his workshops this past month where people would hold a sieve together, or a sieve together, with scissors or pliers or some type of device and place a Bible in it. Well, that's actually a very old European tradition that's found all over the place, not just in Northern Europe, and it's also quite Cypriotic. There's a Cypriotic divination that involves holding a sieve with two people and scissors and holding it together, asking a question, and then it would spin or turn on that. So having someone involved is one of the way, is an old way of kind of circumventing this idea that you, your own investment in the answer might alter what you get. And it is an old way
that's true.
Of working.
And I have to tell you that we have that working here, coming out of even Waycross, Georgia, We have that exact same working. And, of course, then similarly, we also have what is called bibliomatic cleidomancy, which is the use of a pendulum as a key in cooperation with the Bible, where the Bible is bound around the key. And then just like you're saying, two people are holding that key through the loops of the key and asking that question. So that's a very, very traditional and a very old working.
Yeah, and it's often very much associated with rural ways of working. This was done often by farmers, people trying to find out about weather, as well as lost and buried treasure. Ms. Mellon, you were
pregnancy.
Saying... And pregnancy, yes.
Yeah, male or female. They did over the mother's belly and see if it's male or female.
Down here in Texas, we have a tradition amongst the Hispanic community of doing that work over a pregnant woman's belly with her wedding ring.
Yep.
And the wedding ring is made tied to a cord, and then a circular movement is meant to represent a girl child, and then a back and forth linear movement is, of course, representing a male child.
Now, you know, in the chat room, Jellyfish Rising mentioned this, how camphor and Florida water, when lit, create a circular flame. Well, interesting enough, that's actually one of the ways I use Florida water and camphor for spirit communication. I scry very much. It's one of my favorite methods of divination. And scrying with fire is one of my favorite ways of scrying. And I use Florida water for that. But one of the beautiful ways, now Florida water entered into my practice a little bit later in my life. Florida water is something that entered into hoodoo via Florida and Afro-Caribbean, Afro-Cuban traditions. Hoyt's cologne is far older and far more traditional in conjure practices from the deep south. But over the years, I have found that Hoyt's cologne has much more of a warming effect, so it's great for things like mojo bags, washing John the Conqueror root, whereas Florida water has a nice cooling effect, and it really does have a strong connection with spirit. So I often give a little bit of Florida water to my spirit, and I also light the Florida water on fire. It gives off a fragrant, beautiful blue-green flame. This has two effects. One, it cleanses an area, just like camphor does. So using both of them together, it will cleanse and drive away any type of negative or residual. So it really clears your sight, as well as clears the communication. And then the flame itself can be used to scry with. You can, if you're not particularly good at clairvoyance, you can also use it for clairaudience. Listening to the crackle of the flame is a great way to hear the voice of spirit. Ancestors in particular could come through very strong through Florida water on fire. So this is one of the things that I use to kind of clear the area. We talked about meditation exercises and prayer. I use that as well. But I like the idea of setting something on fire. Maybe I have too much fire in my natal chart. But I like the idea of setting something on fire and really cleansing the area and then getting started with divination. The other thing I do is I shake. I don't know if either of you do this, but whenever I'm communicating with spirit, before I talk to them, I shake my hands out. It's like a flicking water off of your hand. And what this does is it's kind of my way of flicking off everyday worries, everyday thoughts, and then allowing myself to focus on the matter at hand, focusing on spirit and allowing spirit to come through. I work very strongly with the spirit of divination. You mentioned spirit guides. That helps me to kind of filter out any other communication and just focus on my answers. But flicking my hands, it's a very simple exercise, and people see me sometimes doing it as I go about. I flick my hands. That's me clearing off. They think I might have some tick or something, but that's actually me.
What is it?
He
got something on his head, just wash his hands?
Yeah, I just wash my hands, I flick my hands, and people are like, what are you doing? That's actually me communicating with spirit. And I also do that before any readings for clients. I kind of flick off my past client, who I just read for. I go, okay, that situation is done. Flick the hand, and then it's time to start a new reading. And this cat also does this as well. We Tauruses have that similar quality. But do either of you have a physical act that you do in addition to your prayers that kind of gets you in that mood, that mindset, and helps you to communicate with spirit?
For me, I like to walk around in the yard without any shoes on.
Wow.
Grass.
Mm-hmm.
That for that's for me when I'm having a very long day. You know, like I think Miss Kat drinks ginger tea, I believe.
Yes.
Some kind of tea to revitalize her. As for me, it's walking around in the with my barefoot out in the grass, listening to the birds, seeing what they're saying, listening to the wind. See, those are things that revitalize me. And I like to do, even before I start my readings in the morning, I'll go and sit outside. I have a green mat that I sit out in the grass. And I just sit there and I close my eyes and I just listen. Of course, I live out in the country, well, a little bit out in the country. So, you know, I have lots of birds and I have lots of mourning doves and finches. And then I have lots of trees. And so there's a lot going on just out in my yard, you know, in nature. And that I absorb and that gives me energy. And then the sun rising gives me energy.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the
simple
things
that I do. I do one of two things depending on if I am in a public or a private space. If I'm in a public space, I carry as a watch fob a skeleton key. And it is basically my talisman, my worry tool, etc. And I will use it to basically, I'll just finger it and, you know, concentrate on it when I'm in public and I need to make that shift from point A to point B. When I'm in a little more private space, then I do what, you know, a lot of Jews do. We come with a little ready-made space, which is our talus, and I will just go under my talus. I'll just put it over my head and over my eyes and pull it around myself, and then I've separated myself out from that one place to where I'm going to prepare to talk to spirit or talk to God or talk to my ancestors. But before we drift too far away, I would be remiss to not also mention, as we have mentioned Hoyts and we have mentioned Florida water, let us not forget Kananga water.
Yes.
Now, Kananga is a Malay name for this very, very tall, very beautiful tree with very fragrant flowers that grows in Indonesia. And primarily, in this part of the world, we encounter it as an essential oil called Lang Lang. But there is an alcohol-based cologne called Kananga water, and it is specifically used as an altar offering to the spirits of the dead. And when we go to do spirit mediumship and psychicism with spirits, that often is something that is very potent in use, as well as the very traditional Hoyts, and, of course, Florida water, which is very popular at this point in time.
Mm-hmm, very true. And I think it's interesting that the common theme, and please correct me if I'm wrong, or I don't want to speak for anyone, is that we seem to be in a consensus that it's not actually difficult to have spirit communication. Spirits are always talking, and they're always present, but the key is filtering. It seems like all of us are talking here. You know, we're talking about spirit communications, and we've all kind of headed in the direction of, well, how do you put yourself in the mindset, in the presence, in the state where you can hear it? Because spirit's already talking. That's not the problem. That's not the trick, so to speak. They're already there.
For
they're
me,
already talking. Communication's already there. Now it's just a matter of listening and hearing the message. Would that be correct, Miss Melanie?
Yeah. Like for me, you know, you all were talking about in private and public. In public, people will probably think I'm not listening to them, but when I look up to the right, that is when I'm seeing. And when I can see spirits come forward, that's what I'm doing. Then I'll close my eyes and then I'll look up to the right again, because that's the way they come. They come to the right because I hear good in my right ear and I hear evil in my left.
Well, how interesting. So you have very,
I know,
even
very strange.
No, that's brilliant. That, I love that.
And then some spirits that are stuck in between worlds, they're not really in heaven, but they're not really, I'm not going to say heaven because I have a whole theory about that. And I mean, no, don't get me wrong, it is there. It's just there's purgatory and we're waiting. You know, there's that place and that's why we can see them. But then there's another place below that they haven't quite, it's not been decided just yet of, you know, if they're going to go to heaven or to hell. And so they stand off in my peripheral vision to the right. And so I can hardly see them. I know they're there, but I can hardly see them.
Interesting.
So that's how I know they're kind of they're at that lower level. So they still haven't had a chance to, they haven't been processed yet, as I would say.
I love that, because I noticed you looking up and while we were at Lucky Mojo's workshop at the Hoodoo Heritage
Festival. What
is she doing? I saw that look on your face, so that's fascinating that that's what you were doing. It's funny because I have something similar, but not, for me it's my ring. For me, my ring contains my spirit of divination, who acts as what I like to call as my spirit usher. He's the one that goes out and brings other spirits to me. He's the one that filters out trips or spirits and anything. And so people will see me play with my ring, and I kind of twirl it around my finger, or I gaze into its carnelian stone. And while it looks like I'm being distracted, like you mentioned, I'm actually scrying, and I am notorious for doing that while people are telling me information, because what my spirit is instructed to do is to check whatever people are telling so I know when someone's lying to me. And so people think I'm this, you know, kind of befuddled professor, lost in my own little world, looking longingly into my ring, but that's actually what I'm doing. So that's funny that you have a very similar process, but for you it's looking in a certain direction and hearing from different ears. But this has been
makes you look like a dingy blonde.
They can think what they want, but at the end of the day, we have the scoop, right? That's the key. We have the scoop. We know what's really going on. So we just, you smile and nod and go, it's all right. My spirit's already told me. I already know what's really going on.
And like if I'm out to dinner, and it's happened. I'll give you an example on an airplane. I was going to New Orleans, and I was sitting beside this lady, and there was a strong personality. And I was looking out the window, and the strong personality kept saying, "Mama, mama, mama," and I'm like, "Okay, go away. No, we're sitting in the right place. We're on an airplane, you know." So finally, I looked to the lady next to me, and I said, "I'm sorry. Have you had someone young pass?" So we got to this whole thing. By the end of it, everybody was turned around in their seats. I had never been so embarrassed in all my life. I was like, "Oh my God!"
Yeah. Well, sometimes spirit speaks.
This
I
am getting a very strong spiritual impression that we should prepare to go to our readings.
Very good. And I couldn't agree more with you. I think this was a fascinating discussion. Very interesting. And I thank you, Ms. Melanie, for bringing it up. This is a topic, you know, this is what I like to call peeking behind the curtains, right? We talk a lot about various acts, rites, rituals, candle work, things like that that are very palpable. But this is what goes on in the mind, goes on behind the scenes. Facilitating communication with spirit is a very interesting conversation, and hopefully we will have more opportunities to talk about it. So this is an open invitation for Ms. Melanie to come on in the future and talk a little bit about this topic some more, because I think we could have a whole, you know, radio show dedicated to this discussion.
Oh, absolutely.
So thank you.
We could talk about this for the entire hour.
For the entire
hour.
Fascinating topic. Thank you very much. But let's turn this over to our wonderful Ms. Tammy Lee, who will guide us into our calls.
Well, yes, sir, and thank you so much, Conjurman Ali. And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your host, Conjurman Ali, and this week's special co-host, Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas. and the lovely Miss Melanie of the Curio and Candle Shop in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and also to the forum and take our first client who's calling in today. This is Eternal Moonlight on the forum. She would like to be referred to as Kay from 718 in New York. Kay, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to go ahead and let our hosts know a little bit background that's on the forum here. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today, and I see that you're a beginner to the show. We're on every Sunday, and we look forward to seeing you. And I'm also going to go ahead and let them know that you have not yet gone to any other readers or root workers from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. And she writes, during the summer, I felt I had found the love of my life. Things were going well until I remember praying one night and thanking Goddess that I found him. Then it went downhill from there. Just recently, I've had a dream about him. We've long broken up. But in the dream, his face changes and becomes someone I'm not attracted to, someone I don't know trying to sleep with me. Then someone told me it was a witch that came between us in this dream. Is this possible? That witch would have to be in the room with me or something. Turning it back over to you.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Thank you for your question.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
I'm going to go ahead and turn this up. Yes, I'm sorry, Ali. I'm just making sure that Conjurman Ali has it. Go ahead, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. That was a very interesting question. What we're going to do is we're going to have Professor Porterfield do your first reading, followed up by Miss Melanie, and we'll see what they see, okay? Professor Porterfield, why don't you give us some guidance on this? Professor Porterfield?
Yes, I'm sorry. That's odd.
Oh, there
can you all hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so sorry. I don't know what happened there. Yes, ma'am. Hello. How are you today? Let me start
off by
asking you, what sign of the zodiac are you?
I am a Pisces.
You're a Pisces. All right. And that's, you know, we ask that so that all those who are listening, who are learning readers, can also get a kind of feel of what's going on. And about how old are you?
I recently turned 30. Well, not recently. It happened in February, but I'm 30 now.
Okay, so you're in your 30s now. I do just a straight old-fashioned bibliomancy, and let me see what we can see in the book about this and what it has to say to us. What I'm seeing here is a quote from Deuteronomy, and this quote to what I've actually gotten for the bibliomancy is the entire chapter, but I'm not going to read the entire chapter out. I'm going to give you the summation of this. The summation of this part of the Bible is that when those who pray before the Lord pray earnestly and truly, the Lord makes revelation. The Lord sets aside what is hidden. The Lord sets aside what is invisible, that all truth is exposed. All truth is exposed. And what I take this to show me in this, and this is from Deuteronomy, we have direct quotes from God in the passage. That's going to be the equivalent of, in a Tarot reading, the major arcana. And that also is normally a sit up and listen situation in bibliomancy. It means, you know, that we're not being very sketchy here. We're getting a very straight answer. And what I interpret this answer to be is that this gentleman that you were in love with was not the man for you. He was, in fact, not the man he seemed to be. And that when you prayed to God to thank God for that, that prayer was, in a sense, answered. Meaning, that is immediately, as you said, it immediately went downhill. You prayed one night, and then, boom, it just went downhill. But there is a connotation of something hidden here, of something being kept from your vision. So it may be that he, in fact, was doing some work, particularly when we have people in their sleep being influenced through dreams and in that nature. But what I see here is that this, the suddenness of this was, in fact, a protective thing for you, that this was, if you want to think of it as a guardian angel, you can. I mean, that's not a term I generally bandy around, but what I'm trying to say is that this was a spiritual force that on the occasion of your prayer came in to sever that relationship for your good, for your good in the end. And that's what I see, and that's what I'm being led to here in the book of Deuteronomy. But I would like to pass this now to Miss Melanie and hear what she has to say about it.
Thank you for that reading, Professor Porterfield.
Thank you.
Melanie?
Thank you.
Okay, so what, as you've been, if you've been listening to the radio show, you know I'm a clairvoyant. So when I say that I hear, see, and feel, that is spirit, okay? Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing is that was a warning for you, as Professor Porterfield said. That was a warning for you that this actually was not the man for you, that he was portraying himself to be something that he was not, something that you wanted. He knew what you wanted out of a relationship, and that's what he was giving you. Now, I do want to ask you a question, because I'm hearing that of how you broke up.
Okay, so what's the question?
How did the relationship end?
Well, it ended because he was in another country and he finally saw me, but it was officially over when I found out that he was actually talking to other women behind my back. It was revealed on Facebook, this woman, because I tagged him that we were together, and this girl was like, I don't know about your sweetheart, but what you need to know is that he also was trying to go out with me on a date the week before he supposedly came to New York to see me.
So this verifies that, this validates, you know, what, why I was saying how did it end, because it goes back to what I was hearing, that he was telling you what you wanted to hear, that you needed to hear in order to be in a relationship.
Yes.
So, you know, and unfortunately, not all men, but some men are like that, and they like the attention. And I feel that he was one of those, that he had to have the, because he has, he probably didn't come across as a low self-esteemed person, but he really and truly is. And so when you do that, you have to go out and you have to find as many people as you can to give you attention to make up for that lack of self-confidence. So in no way, I don't want you to think, because, you know, you made the statement that when he saw you, that, you know, he decided that he didn't, you know, want to be with you. Now, that I want you to know that I hear that is not the truth. That has nothing to do with you, okay? I don't want you, your self-esteem, to be taken a blow because of what he said. That's just his way of saying, okay, I've met you. Now this is a little too real for me.
Right.
And that's just his pattern. Mm-hmm. That's his pattern.
Before we turn this over to Conjure Man Ali, who will advise us on some root work that you can do on this situation, I want to say, and Those that know me will probably roll their eyes because they've probably heard this quote 100 times, but my great-grandmother told me this, and let me tell you right now, Kay, a dog that will bring a bone will take a bone. This is not about you. Don't you ever knock yourself down about this man.
Okay. Don't. Do not. Don't let his words and his actions have any part of how you feel about yourself. Okay? Because it has nothing to do with you. It's all him.
Those are very lovely readings and very lovely points that are brought up by both Professor Porterfield and Miss Melanie. And, you know, what they're getting at, ultimately, is that you managed to dodge a bullet here. Okay? That this person, you know, your dream and what you experienced was all telling you, hey, it's good that this guy's gone. Right? So don't feel as if someone interfered or that you were being attacked. This is much more a you got saved from a situation that could have been potentially a lot worse. And I would say that there is an element of definite hidden danger there that's good that you managed to avoid. So what do you do now? What's the next step? My honest answer is a cut and clear, right? Miss Cat wrote this spell known as a cut and clear. You can find it on the Lucky Mojo website, which is perfect for a situation like this. Only will it remove the emotional ties that you may have, the what ifs, you know, could I fix things? But it also has a brilliant way of severing the spiritual connection, right, with this person. So that this person is cut and then removed. It also opens you up for new love. The idea of a cut and clear is it allows you to cleanse yourself. It allows you to send this person far, far away, cutting whatever ties may be between you and opening yourself up to new love. That's what I would recommend in a situation like this, is really clearing things out and starting fresh, because you are not destined to be alone. You are not destined to not have another lover. You will find someone else. You don't have to wait on this guy. This guy's gone. Remove him. Time to move on. But one thing I would add, because your dreams obviously are very strong and powerful in your life, I would recommend placing a cup of water next to your bedside to help facilitate bringing in those dreams a little bit more. Also, filtering those dreams so that you can dream true. I definitely would also recommend placing the Bible underneath your pillow or underneath your bed. Return to Psalm 91. Some people also place scissors in there or a knife. If you place a knife, please don't put that under your pillow. I know it's common sense, but I have to repeat it because I've had clients who ask me that. So, just saying that if you place scissors or a knife of some sort, place that under the bed versus under your pillow, right? So if you have space underneath the bed. And have it open to Psalm 91, and what this does is it'll protect your dreams, and it'll ensure that with a cup of water that you can have true dreams. That's what I would recommend in this situation. Thank you for your call. We wish you all the best with your situation, okay? And Ms. Tammy Lee, why don't you take us to our next caller, who is calling in from 717.
Well, sure. We will certainly do that, Conjurman Ali, 717. But first, let me just go ahead and remind everyone that support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now, we are going to go ahead, sir, and we are going to go ahead and take our next client is from 717. Yes, sir, and here we go, just pulling that up here for us. 717, and we've got... Hang tight with me, just a little bit of a glitch. We said 717, is that correct, sir?
Cassiopeia.
Okay, got it. Okay, got it. Okay, here we go.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. You said that you wanted your name to be pronounced Sarah on the air. Is this Sarah?
Yes, yes.
Super. Thank you. All right, 717 Pennsylvania. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know and our special guest member from air that you have been to, and I've got this in my notes here, you've actually had a reading with Conjurman Ali, and have also had readings with Deacon Millett from this past fall, November of 2013, and she writes, "My most recent relationship lasted about 15 months, and I was working to draw him back and keep him for the last 8 of those months. We were always off and on, but before I started working on him, he would break it off, but then almost immediately reinitiate contact. About 3 weeks ago, I prayed to Spirit about the fact that I wanted, needed, and deserved better than I was getting from this man, and the next morning he texted me that he needed to move on because he had met someone else. I was surprised to find myself quite happy with that, and I ended all my work on him and began working to draw my ideal romantic partner. Since then, I've gotten more signs about him than ever before, and he keeps finding reasons to get back in touch with me. I do not want to get back together with him unless he's going to be honest and emotionally available, which seems unlikely. Exactly what's going on here, and what's the best way for me to handle this? I'm a 36-year-old Cancer. He's a 33-year-old Scorpio. Turning it back over to you."
Thank you very much, Ms. Tammy Lee. Sarah, this is a very interesting situation. What I've done is I've pulled 3 cards here. I don't remember this situation. You said you had a reading with me in the past. I don't remember this specific one, but please excuse me as I do have many clients with similar situations. Before I dive in, I just want to say, since Ms. Kat's not here, I will talk a little bit about the astrology. You are a Cancer and he is a Scorpio. Now, I will preface this by saying I am not talking crap on Scorpios. I love Scorpios. I have predominantly dated Scorpio women all my life, so I have an affinity for them. I adore them. They're wonderful. Okay, just going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But a Scorpio and Cancer relationship is very much what you've just described. Cancers are looking for a relationship. They're looking for stability. They're looking for that affection. And Scorpios are intense. And they can come on very strong, and they can make you feel loved, and then they can back away. And then they tend to repeat that process. They also are very difficult to break up with. Scorpios can be hot and cold. When they break up with someone, they can sometimes completely vanish on that person. But then they'll come back, right? So I always mm-hmm. talk about breakups with Scorpios being done with a blunted axe, right? It's always kind of chop away at it. So I'm just going to say that. I love Scorpio to death, and I myself am a Taurus, been dating Scorpios all my life, with one Sagittarius, but that's besides the point. They're great. But in this case, a Cancer and Scorpio relationship is often very similar to what you described. And this is reflected mm-hmm. in the card that we have here. The first card is the Seven of Swords. The Seven of Swords shows us that this is a situation that is not fully over and is also never going to reach completion, right? So it is. This is a man walking away with 5 swords and 2 are left behind. He's looking over his shoulder and goes, I've left 2 behind. This person is going to come back more than once, but they're never fully going to stay. It's an incomplete situation. They're not quite done, but they're certainly never, ever going to reach the full potential of a relationship. This is, I wouldn't call it parasitic, but it's when you try to move on that this person will come back, right? It's almost as if they pick up on that emotional quality going on there. So just be aware of that the mm-hmm. Seven of Swords tells us that this is not something you should be holding out to. This is a pattern, a holding pattern. The next card that we have is the Queen of Pentacles. The Queen of Pentacles is you. This is a person sitting on a throne. They have a golden coin and they're surrounded by beauty. You are looking for that full relationship experience. You want someone who's willing to commit to you, who's willing to be stable, who's willing to really be your partner in life. And that's great. Keep that in mind. Put your mind fully behind that. anyone who does not live up to that is not worth your time. Recognizing your own value and what you're worth. You said that you've been at this for, I think, 15 months and eight months of it. You've been going on this back and forth. That's far too long. Now, don't allow yourself to fall into that same trap. You know your value and you know what you want in a relationship. Settling for anything less than that is a disservice to yourself. So really capture that Queen of Pentacles quality. You want stability. You want a partner in life who brings that same level of commitment that you're willing to give. That's what you're going to go for, okay? The final card that we have here is the Page of Cups. Mind people's tongues, okay? This is a card that talks, it shows a little foppish individual with a goblet, and there's a fish coming out of that goblet. There are going to be men, both the ex as well as future men, who can talk a good game, but make sure that there's substance behind the words. So this isn't, it's not just the ex, but in the future as well, there will be people who will make promises, people who will say certain things, people who will say, oh yeah, I'm into a relationship, but then they won't follow through. So filter people's through their actions, not just their words. And if you do that, you will get what you want. But in terms of your past relationship, it's the Seven of Swords. Let it go. It's not worth it. It's completely going to hold you back. All right? Now I'm going to turn this to my colleague and see what they see in the reading, and it's going to be Professor Porterfield, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Ali. Good afternoon to you, ma'am.
Hi.
I'm going to do a very quick bibliomancy on this, and we'll see what we get. This is somewhat unusual. Normally, in bibliomancy, you do not find that the book opens very near the front and very near the back. But this is, we are right here in Genesis for this. It's sort of odd coming up, and yeah, here's the reason why. The reason why is what I have found for you here is Genesis 18:12, and it reads, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also." So, first of all, you're being named directly. So the message is, by the way, here, this is for Sarah. Make sure you give this to her when you see her. So, by the way, here it is. In that story, what's going on is that Hashem has told Abraham that he will have a child, and a very magnificent child. And Abraham's in his 90s, and Sarah is in her late 80s. And when she hears this prophecy coming from the three visitors, the three angels who have been sent into Abraham's tent, she goes, ah! Yeah, right. He's like 100 plus years old. Are you crazy? We're not going to have any babies. But what it is it is a woman who has come to a fullness. Okay? It is a woman who is laughing at what she sees as to be foolishness. It tells me that you had had enough of this gentleman, okay? It tells me that he was nothing but empty promises, all right? And that you no longer need him. It is indeed time to be done with him, to walk away from him. We often do not end up in a situation in bibliomancy where we get to have a reading with someone whose name comes right the hell up, you know? I mean, there are not that many, you know, Zebuchadnezzars in the world. and the other thing that I would say about this is because it has spoken to you as the matriarch Sarah, I would also feel it necessary to tell you that Sarah lived to be 127 years old. Now, what's interesting about that is that she is the only woman, she is the only woman in the Bible whose age is given. in the Hebrew Bible. Only her age is given. Only, we know this is how long she lived. This is how important she is. In out of the Hebrew, Sarah means queen. It means queen, all right? Queen or noble woman. You are a queen, all right? And this reading is saying that queens do not meddle about with nonsense. Queens do not sully their hands with foolishness, okay? And so what I see here and what I advise you from that is that it is time for you to flick your wrists and go, shoo, fly, shoo, shoo, fly, shoo. Because
I totally agree.
Definitely can have someone else in your life. You don't need this old fly. You say, shoo, fly, shoo, fly, don't bother me. Somebody I know cares for me. Away you go, shoo, fly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see here.
Thank you, Professor Porterfield. That was wonderful. Miss Melanie, what would you recommend she do in a situation like this?
Well, it sounds like to me that she just needs to attract someone new, someone that you want, that fulfills all your dreams and fulfills everything that you want. And then eventually this man will just go away. I do suggest an attraction type of spell, maybe a moving candle type of spell, or you can even do a container spell to draw someone new in. The key to any type of attraction work is that your petition is very specific. It has to be, you have to know exactly what you want in a person, because if not, you'll get all kinds of crazies.
Can I interrupt for a second? Sorry.
Sure.
I've actually already started on that after he and I broke up this last time. I mean, I've got a whole love altar set up with a very specific list about all of the qualities that I'm looking for, with candles burning on it every day and pink male figural candles. And I also did Miss Kat's lodestone spell.
Right.
I've started on the new lover attraction stuff already. Is there anything you could suggest that to augment it or beef it
up?
Yeah,
the definite herbs to make sure to use when you're doing this, of course, is rosebud and red clover.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, make sure you're using these types of herbs in your work so that it will enhance your work. Now, you know, frankincense, you know, is a resin, and that adds power to any work that you're going to do. So you can also add that in. But lavender and damiana, you know, add those in, lavender and damiana, cuba berries, and juniper berries. Use your attraction oils that I'm sure that you have already. Use those. What I do for some of my clients is I'll put all of those into a jar. You know, I use mason jars. And then I put the attraction oil in. And then I use, this is just my thing because I work with the Holy Trinity, I do put the Holy Trinity oil in. So if you work with someone in particular, like a saint or, you know, someone that, or, you know, maybe some graveyard dirt from an ancestor or something like that, you can throw in. And then I also put some almond oil in there and some vitamin E oil because I don't want it to go rancid. And then I'll burn on that every Friday and every Sunday during the planetary hour of Venus. To enhance the work. And also your petition paper goes in there, or you can set your petition paper underneath it. Usually I put it in the lid of the jar, and you know, inside, and shake my jar real good. But, yeah, and then to burn pink candles on that, you know, dressed in your attraction oil. And those herbs will just add a little more maybe to what you're already doing.
May I also say something very quickly also?
Sure.
Excellent work, excellent suggestion. I would also recommend, because of your name and because of what I've seen today, get yourself a Queen Elizabeth root.
Okay.
I'm not just about to say that.
Yeah.
Get yourself a Queen Elizabeth root and work with that. You can keep it as a pendulum piece. You can soak it in alcohol to make a perfume to attract men. It also helps you dominate over men. And because of the quotation that we saw earlier, I would recommend when you get that Queen Elizabeth root, go ahead and pray over it. Genesis 21:6, which is, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me, which is her rejoicing in the joy she's been given.
Perfect.
That's brilliant. I love that. What I would actually recommend, because I was going to say Queen Elizabeth root, it's building on that. What I want you to do is, because this is a situation where there is someone that kind of is sniffing around and trying to come back, I always recommend kind of a clean start, and the best way to do that is a bath. So definitely get yourself a Queen Elizabeth root, but what I want you to do with that Queen Elizabeth root is put that in your bottle of perfume. Whatever perfume you love, that's your scent, it's going to be yours, right? You're going to put that Queen Elizabeth root in. And then you're going to make a bath out of lavender, Damiana. I want you to put some Cuba berries in there. I want you to put some rose petals in there, some lavender and violet leaves. And then you're going to bathe in it. It's going to be a soaking bath. And you're going to add sugar as well, so it's a nice scrub. And it's going to be luxurious, and it's going to feel wonderful, and it's going to be very sexy. But to that bath, you're also going to spray a little bit of your perfume, right? So you're linking the scent with the bath itself. You're going to spray some of your perfume into the bath and wash yourself with that. It's going to be a nice cleansing bath, but it's also going to be a beautiful glamour and sex and love bath. And you're going to wash yourself with that. And then every day when you go out, you're going to take that perfume that has your Queen Elizabeth boot, and you're going to spray yourself with that. And what that does is it brings all that power of that bath every single day into your work. So you go out there feeling sexy, feeling attractive, and you draw the right man to you. But make sure you do that. Start your work before you light your candles. You do that bath, you get your Queen Elizabeth root, you get your perfume going. I'm a big believer in these custom-made perfumes, and they work wonderful, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you for your call. All the best. Now we're going
to
have the wonderful Miss Tammy Lee lead us on.
Yes, sir, Conjurman Ali. And y'all, we've got about 22 minutes left in today's show, and we're going to go ahead and go to a little bit of a shorter break here. And everyone, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Carrier Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then call in during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time each and every Sunday. We're right here for you on Blog Talk Radio. Now we're going to go ahead and go to our next caller. Our next caller is calling in from 651 from St. Paul, Minnesota. This is our very own Doc Murphy. He joins us frequently, if not every Sunday, in the chat room. Doc, are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hi. Welcome back to the show. I'm going to go ahead and, number one, say thank you once again for joining us in chat just about each and every Sunday that I know of. And I'm going to go ahead and also remind our hosts that you have been on the show here before and that you're a regular in chat and that you have not had any other private readings from either Conjurman Ali or Miss Cat. However, Professor Ames has been working with you for the last couple of months on specific problems with the theme of a larger issue. And here we go. All my life, when work and finances are successful, my love life suddenly tanks. When I'm in a relationship, work and earning opportunities suddenly dry up. I've had it. It's like riding a teeter-totter, and it's frustrating. I wish to have and deserve both avenues in my life to be good at the same time, and it just doesn't happen. Everybody I know has observed this about me. I'd appreciate a reading on what root of this pattern is and why it won't let me go and what I can do to break it once and for all. And I'd like to do what you advised for my birthday at the end of the month. Turning it back over to you.
Thank you for that, Ms. Tammy Lee. We're going to have the lovely Miss Melanie do the first reading on this.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. What I'm hearing is that you don't have enough. You seem to be the type of person that you put all or nothing into what you do.
Oh, yeah.
Is that correct? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. So what's happening is when, you know, you're putting all or nothing into work, all right, so then your love life goes to pot. And then when your love life is going great, you're putting all or nothing into that, and so then your work goes to pot. So what you need to do, what I hear, is that you have to try to find a nice way to balance your energy so that you can do both equally. Instead of putting everything on one, it needs to be a balance. They're also saying to leave out, I don't know if there's a bit of drama in your life sometimes.
Off and on.
Is that off and on? Okay. They're saying to pay no attention to any of that, because all that does is that throws in more of a confusion for you. You know, it makes you even more off.
Okay.
Does all that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So what we need to do is try to figure out a way to keep you balanced and keep you centered, I guess is a really good word, so that, you know, when you go to work, you give it your all and you don't think about your love life. And then when you come home, you give it your all to your love life and then you don't think about work.
Okay.
I know you're sitting there and you're saying, but I already do that. But it's more.
Yeah.
But it's different. You can't give everything to work and then give your love life the leftovers. And that's kind of what you're doing, or giving your love life everything and then giving your work the leftovers. That's actually kind of what's happening, instead of, you know, being nice and even kiltered. So I'm going to turn this over to my colleague here and see what they say. Okay?
Thank you.
I think that was
great
advice from Miss Melanie. What I've done is I've done a geomantic reading to kind of get at the core of what you're facing here. And I definitely agree with Ms. Melanie. The balance is certainly necessary, and finding that balance is going to be key. But I also have something here that indicates there may be some. You said you're working with Professor Ames. Professor Ames is a brilliant astrologer. I'd recommend him taking a look and seeing what's going on here astrologically, because I have a pattern here. When we look at the right witness, we have Rubius, and Rubius shows us the cup overturned, but the left witness is Albus. And this speaks to a pattern of when one is bad, the other is good, which is what you speak about. The judge is conjunctio, which is the balance of the two, which is joining of the two together. What it seems to me is going to be needed here is a complete and total fresh start, a road opening work in the most literal sense of the word. Road opening work is not passive. We're talking about blockbuster road opening work, where the hand of God comes down with dynamite and blows through anything holding you back. Because what's needed is a complete and total spiritual kind of reboot when it comes to, so the pattern itself is broken. So we don't have you leaving Rubius, sorrow and destruction, and then finding Albert, right? We want you to be able to find both at the same time. In terms of your love life, there is a lot of changes coming up here in terms of your romantic situation. So be aware of that, especially around August. So I'm not sure if you're currently in a relationship or not, but be aware that August holds a lot of changes for you, possibly new romantic partners around that time. And conversely, your career is also going to take a different turn. We have Square and the 10th house. So there's a lot of interesting things going on here. And well, the sense that I'm getting is that there's a pattern, a holding pattern that has been developed, and it's been spiritually reinforced over and over again. And what's needed is a complete spiritual reboot, that you need to kind of break through this pattern and start fresh. So really, you might consider having some astrological work done to take a look at the situation. Go from there. I would also recommend that in addition, yeah, there's a lot of background noise. I'm going to have to mute. Oh, no, it's gone. Good. That's fine. Once you've done this spiritual reboot, where you completely kind of start fresh, that's when we'll be able to start to see a joining of two positives where you're having both luck at work and luck in the romantic era. I'm going to turn this over to my colleague, Professor Porterfield, who can take a look, who can give you some recommendations on what you can do now in order to kind of bring that spiritual reboot around, as well as bring the balance that Miss Melanie also saw was needed.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Doc Murphy. How you doing?
I'm good, Professor. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm going to ask you a question before I give you, I'm going to ask you two questions before I give you any work. The first question is a question I ask every client when it has not been made apparent to me by what they have already said. And I ask this of anyone who comes to me looking for love work. What are you looking for? Now, I don't mean 6 foot tall. I mean, are you looking for a man? Are you looking for a woman? Are you looking for three dwarves? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for a really, really good man.
All right, a really, really good man. Then my second question is, do you have a ancestor, someone who is passed, who is buried near you that you can work with?
No, sir.
Or obtain graveyard dirt?
No, sir, not where I live.
All right, thank you. Now, here's my advice to you. What I would like to see you do is I would like to try to break through both conditions at the same time. Since we have this seesaw, what I would like to try to do is kick the middle out of that seesaw so that it's not on a fulcrum anymore, it's not on that pivot anymore. To do that, rather than suggest a single working, I'm going to suggest to you a long-term working. I would like to see you make an oil lamp. Now, these are old-style lamps that we put, in the old days they put kerosene in it, nowadays they put lamp oil in them, and you'll want one that has a large well, okay, a large well that you can put things into, if you're following what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Into that, I want you to put pyrite, okay, that's for your money. I want you to put a he and she lodestone that have been fed with magnetic sand. That's for your love life. I want you to put a slightly larger, okay, piece of lodestone that's been fed with magnetic sand and whiskey, and that's going to be to attract money. I want you to put one of every kind of coin that you can fit in there, meaning a penny, a nickel, a dime, all the way up to a dollar piece if it'll fit. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Again,
mm-hmm.
That's for money. I want you to put a John the Conqueror root in there that you have fed with Hoyt's cologne. That's for a powerful man. I want you to put a Queen Elizabeth root in there that you have dressed with something like Follow Me, Boy. That's to enhance your own allure. And I also want that to be a Follow Me, Boy, because as we're trying to break through this, I want the man and the money that's coming along to follow you for a while rather than you have to chase across them. Okay?
Yes, sir.
We're going to put all of that in there. We can also put a pinch of five-finger grass, if you like, and then I want you to put cinnamon sticks in there for both conditions, okay? Cinnamon for the money and luck, cinnamon for the romance, the love, and the sex. And then, if at all possible, I want you to put in lamp oil that you have colored purple. If you can't color it, don't worry about it. Don't get hitched up and stop the work. If you can't get, and here's how you can color it. You can color it with soap dyes. And they sell soap dyes at your local craft store. Any place that they sell soap making materials, they'll sell soap dyes. You go in there, get red and blue, and you can make purple. Okay?
All
right. But don't use water-based dyes because they'll just bead up. So don't use food coloring. So you can just get clear lamp oil, add blue and red to it, make purple. Why purple? Because we're looking for a crowning success. We're looking for a domination. We're looking for you being empowered rather than the red or pink we would use for love or the green that we would use for money. And then I want you to put your name encircled with your petition. Bring me, you know, basically I want off this seesaw. Bring me love and money at the same time. Write it in a circle around your name and put that whole petition in that lamp. And then I want you to burn that lamp. I want you to burn that lamp on Fridays. I want you to burn that lamp on Wednesdays. I want you to burn that lamp any time that the hands of the clock are rising. Never when the hands of the clock are going down. By which I mean when you start it. If you start it, and it burns for 6 hours and the hands of the clock go down, that's fine. But don't start it when the hands are doing anything but going up. And you work that. You know, we talk about sitting light, setting a light. And the conception I always have of that is like a hen that sits on her eggs till they hatch out. Make that lamp, burn that lamp, you keep your petitions on that lamp, and you just keep working it so that you can break through this and get that to come back at the same time.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You can get those big oil lamps that he's talking about with the big basins. You can get those at Walmart. And they have the big opening at the top.
You're going to need a bigger one because it's got a lot of whole roots. But that's a brilliant, brilliant working, Professor Porterfield. The only thing I would add
Fantastic.
To that is I would recommend doing it 3 days a week, Sundays for success, Wednesdays. And I would actually maybe do four. Sundays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. That way you're catching all those. Sunday often gets forgotten in the days of the week because it's, you know, it's Sunday, but it's a great day to start off the week, and it's also a day of success. It's the day you want to have, you know, to touch on the career aspect of things. And then doing Wednesdays and Thursdays, both are really good at that, and then the Fridays that Professor Porterfield also recommended would be great. And I think an oil lamp recommendation is excellent, excellent. Long-term work that'll really turn things around and really touches on both what Miss Melanie and I saw as the need for really both fusing, you know, and bringing balance as well as breaking through and completely starting here. So we do wish you all the best with that, and we're going to turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee before we go to our free spell.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Well, thank you, Dr. Murphy. And y'all, just a quick reminder that each and every week the Lucky Mujahid Root Work Hour is hosted each week by Conjurman Ali and Miss Catherine Ironwood of Lucky Mojo and LuckyMojo.com. And Miss Kat will be back with us next Sunday. We're going to go ahead and turn this over to Miss Melanie, our very special guest member from AIR that's joining us today of CandlesandCurios.com. And turning it over to you, ma'am.
Today I'm going to give you, it's a spell, but it's more of a combination of herbs and curios, resins, for, it's an incense to soothe a sorrowed heart, you know, to a broken heart. Gosh, I get that. I have so many clients that have a broken heart, and I do this for them. When I do it by proxy, I use a skull candle that's baptized in their name, and then I smoke that candle in this incense. But your ingredients is you'll need a piece of round black charcoal. You'll need some rue, and the rue is so that you can see the truth about the relationship and that it's for the best. You'll need some violet, and violet is for the relief that will help heal your sorrows. And the frankincense. Like I said before, that gives it even more power, okay? That's one of the holy incense in the Bible. Now you're going to mix your herbs and Cheerios together. Now I use a coffee grinder because I like for everything to be mixed kind of equally. And then I sprinkle it on the charcoal. Now you can smoke yourself starting at the head and passing the incense around your body as you move down your body. Or you can use a dove feather. And why I say a dove feather is because doves are a symbol of Christianity, a symbol of God, a symbol of our faith. And you can wave that smoke towards you as you move down your body. And while you're doing that, you're going to recite Psalms 23 during the process. Now, another option is that you can take this rue, violet, and frankincense and make it into a bath mixture to do for 9 days. And you can do that and pray your Psalms 23. And at the end of your Psalms 23, request that, you know, you want the feelings of sorrow to go away, those feelings of hurt to go away. And at the end of 9 days, I guarantee you'll feel better. I hope that helps.
That's brilliant.
Amazing.
I love that. I absolutely love that. It's interesting because I do something similar, but for in a bad sense. For me, it's rue, violet leaves, and rose petals for a bath. So that's it's a very similar working. I love the element of praying Psalm 23 and using the dove's feather, which also is a very deep and strong connection to the Holy Spirit. That's a brilliant, brilliant way of working. Now, do you do this for clients? Like if a client is faced with heartbreak, do you do in-person sensing of the client?
I do. Or I'll even do a bath. Like I'll go down to the river and I'll do a bath in the river to remove their sorrows. And how I do that is we do communion first, if they're a Christian. That way I know that, you know, by doing communion, to me, first before we enter the river for a Christian is your way of saying, I understand what you sacrificed for me. And that seems to make it work even better for the client.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. But by proxy, I do use a skull that's been baptized, and I'll smoke it in the incense for 9 days.
Or would a doll baby work as well for working like this?
A doll baby would work as well. That would work good. And then put the rue and the violet and you give roses and, you know, frankincense, what you know, whatever calls to you of those herbs. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Wonderful.
That was a cool
wonderful
working.
Work.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Thank you very much. Hopefully everyone in the chat got that. Ms. Tammy Lee has been wonderfully writing down the various ingredients on there. And we're going to have Miss Tammy Lee take us out.
Well, yes, sir, Conjurmana Lee. Thank you, Conjurmana Lee. And Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, for co-hosting this week for our very own Miss Catherine Ironwood. And thank you, Miss Melanie of CandlesandCurios.com in Nashville, Tennessee, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We will have another very special guest member from AIR joining us next Sunday. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hootie Rubric Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurmana Lee at conjurmanalee.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Timmy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hootie Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via the Lucky Mojo, luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again at the same time when you hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night.
Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee. Sure. I wanted to give a personal thank you to Ms. Melanie as our wonderful guest. Thank you for joining us, and hopefully you will join us again. Thank you to Professor Porterfield for stepping in for Ms. Cat. Couldn't have done it without you. Thank you very much, Professor. Thank you for following along. This show is only made possible by the wonderful listeners and all the contributors of chat room. Next week, we will have Miss Cat back, and we will be back to our regular show. And now that she's running the board, I only have a deep appreciation for the work that he does after shows like this. So for everyone here at the Lucky Mojo Hoot Woot Hotel, thank you for tuning in, and hopefully we will see you next week. Have a safe and wonderful week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Shalom.